Welcome to another installment of the Underground Lounge. I'm your host, Lou Will. This is also your host, Spank Horton. And when we talk about lounges, when we talk about clubs, when we talk about atmosphere, we have the absolute pleasure of sitting down with someone who's inspired so many different places, including the Underground Lounge, Mr. Michael Barney Sr., affectionately known as Mr. Magic. And we got Juju here, who is also his son, global entertainment ambassador for the club as well. Gentlemen, how we doing today?
Amazing, my brother.
All right, great. I started it off real interviewy.
I wanted to give y'all proper flowers,
yeah. But y'all know, y'all know for a long time I've been family, and you know, this is a place that I consider home, and I thought it was only right that we come here and pick y'all brains. Let's have some fun. Mr. Magic, Camden's finest. What brought you to ATL, man?
Well, I arrived in ATL off a football scholarship. I went to Duke University back in the 70s.
Duke.
And from Duke, I used to come here on spring break.
I ain't never knew black people went to Duke.
Yeah. So when I get out of there, maybe 74, 78, I went to Duke. But I used to come here on spring break. Mm-hmm. So that's how I learned about Atlanta, Chocolate City, all that, coming down here on spring break. And then I sort of liked it. So afterwards, I went back to Jersey. And after I got a little tryout with Kansas City Chiefs for a moment, I didn't make it. I got cut. And after that, they wanted me to go to Canada and wait the next year. But I was tired playing. Mm-hmm. So I went on and got out of there. So I wound up in Atlanta like 79. I graduated in 78 and then wound up down here in 79.
What position you played when you played football?
Running back.
Oh!
Running back. So, you know, after that day, I came here and dipped and dabbled in Atlanta. That's how I made here off the scholarship. And Stanley Driscoll was one of Atlanta's little football highs, played with me, and he brought me this way. So, I did go home to Jersey and tried a couple of Philadelphia interviews. They booed me out of there. You know, they was mean as hell over there in Philly. So I said, I told my mom, I said, I'm going to pack up. I don't think I'm going to stay up this way. I'm just going to try something new. Mm-hmm. And I had a little Dodge coat and threw my shit in the car and rode out, you know.
Now, we were doing our research. Mm-hmm. Spank mentioned that once you originally started the club, is it true you had one dancer?
Yeah.
One dancer, one bartender, one
beginning at the bottom. Had a little girl on the steps with some balloons, holding some balloons.
Now this is the very first location.
Yes, only location.
Wow. Only location.
Yeah. First and only location. And I had drove around looking for a spot. I really didn't even know about strip until hanging out with some girls one day playing around and shit, and they turned me on to Foxy Lady.
Okay.
And I went in there, and that was like a saloon. It was, like thrown through the windows. It was real rough, you know. But, you know, I had my suit and tie on, and I'm moving around, and I was like amazed because I had never seen strip, you know.
Because there ain't no strip in Jersey like that. I don't know.
They used to have behind the glass up Jersey, Philly. Yeah. You know, they had the behind the glass.
Like what they call them overseas?
Peep shows.
Yeah, like that. So I really didn't know. So when I got in there, even though with all the violence going on, it was still sexy.
The vibe was right. See, listen, with the vibe right, you can ignore all the bullshit.
It was like that. It was just like that in there. And so the girls didn't really know what was happening, but I was so amazed. I started coming back with my suit and tie every day with my pencil and paper, looking and taking notes.
Taking all that free game.
Trying to watch and learn the game. So that's where I started at, right there at Foxy Lady over there on Moreland Avenue, man. It's still there today. It's crazy, too.
So was the girls that you was hanging with going there, was one of them was the first dancer that you had?
No. They weren't even dancers. I didn't even know nothing about dancing with that. I was a little businessman back then, you know, coming off of, I was still self-employed, but I was selling toner, office supplies, stuff
That's
like that.
That's how you got the name Magic.
That's where I got the name. Oh,
magic. Yeah, they said you kept coming back.
Yeah.
No matter what they gave you to sell.
I was selling the toner over the phone and salesman of the year by 18 months in a row. And so they start saying, that nigga magic. Went like that. They start saying, he's magic.
I was all wrong why I thought your nickname was magic.
I was in a completely different.
When you came to the club, you just throwing them a sister guy. Here you go. Take Sherry. Take Shaman.
A toner salesman.
Tell me about Michaels.
I got Magic City rolling, and a couple years later, after we started picking up, and you know, Dion and Dominique and the Vibe had got here. Like,
now, let me stop you, because I've heard so many from 100% of places that Dion really championed Magic. Is that a real thing? Is he one of the first people that really showed the club some love?
Prime probably elevated me. You know, Prime did that, made it blow off. He brought me MC Hammer with your baggy pants on, man. With the pants on. And that was it. You know, he brought
MC and Dion.
MC Hammer.
And this is at the height of Hammer.
And he was cool. And it was Hammer time at that time.
Right.
Man, he had them pants on. He came right up in here like that. And from there, I ain't looked back, man.
Can you imagine Hammer getting a table dance?
Man.
Boy, he got them
pants on.
Pants all over the floor. Like that.
Mike, bust a poop.
So I always got love for him and Dion. You know, Dominique. Then when Dion got drafted, I got picked a couple picks where it was Sandman, Derek Thomas, me, mm-hmm. and Dion. So they were the first three picks.
Right. Wow.
All up in here in a pick with me. So after that, then, man, we turned, it just blew away. So recently, Dion was telling me, he called me one time, he said, man, it's a damn shame I got to verify to my kids that I know you. It made me laugh, man.
Ju, when did you realize kind of what the family hustle was once Pops pivoted?
So I went to like a Christian private school all the way up until high school. So I didn't know shit till I got to Southwest Acad, and they telling me.
Ain't your classmates tell
me. I know your daddy. What the fuck you talking about? And then after that, I started seeing little shit around the house that was giving me hints, you know, because they did good keeping it
as they
should.
And you know how I get that? Because my kids, they favor Wings on Magic City, but they have no clue until they see this, where the Wings is coming from. That's all they know. They just love the Wings. They'll bring them Wings home.
So I didn't even know until about high school. And I was still, like, still working regular jobs and shit. Like, I was working at McDonald's, and I found out, you know, I found out why I'm working at McDonald's and shit, so I'm like flipping burgers, like this nigga. I know now. But you know, so right around high school is when I figured out for the most part. Right around 10th grade, 9th, 10th grade.
Imagine, I know your original logo was a magician.
Yeah.
Over the club.
That was me trying to hover. You know, back then, trying to learn a couple tricks. You know, you needed tricks back then because you had Blue Flame, you had, there was a bunch of them, Foxy Lady, you had
Mantres,
the Onion.
You know about the Onion.
It's an old school strip club?
That was
the only other black strip club in Atlanta.
Wow. The Onion, Foxy Lady, Blue Flame came around. All of them was there, and you had Mantres over here in the West End. They was hard.
West End?
You had to go hard. So that's a couple where they had one girl. And they was threatening you and saying, man, you know, don't take my girls, but you know, they was threatening. So when they hear you open, you know, now they only want me in the door, because I'm trying to just, but then, you know, I caught a DJ, and the DJ had a girl, Venus, and Andre. Andre was the DJ, and he brought Venus.
I was the midget?
No, Andre, oh,
we're
Andre.
A
yeah, we had a Mrs. GJ too.
A lot of magic tricks going on.
It's magical,
you know, and he's the one with the Circus Olay.
Okay.
The little, you see him, the little short one with Circus Olay.
Oh, wow.
So he was with me years way before this. You know, I used to have
standing on phone books and shit.
You on crates. He used to stand on crates and shit back there. But it's been a lot of great times.
Jew, I want to double back because you brushed past it. Now you say you at McDonald's, but at the back of your head, you know, Pops got the city going crazy.
City going wild.
What was that first conversation like to transition from that to this?
I don't remember the exact conversation. It just came about. I started, you know, like being at Southwestern Cab, I started to get more of the hood culture, the East Side culture. So mm-hmm. I just naturally started to gravitate towards the strip shit. I mean, just naturally, I started to grow up quicker. And, you know, I mean, once I knew it, then, you know, we never really had a conversation, you know.
That's what I was gonna ask.
You know, I'm just like
right.
You know.
I was gonna ask, how did the conversation go? Like, Pops,
there wasn't no
on.
Conversation. He was just like, come on, get in the car.
Like, this I was sitting outside. So even, like, what we doing? What
even we doing? At 16 and 17, I was sitting outside, you know. I used to go with him every night when he go, then I would sit in the front and just watch. Like, I see Lil John and the East Side Boys running in that bitch. I used to be like, in the car.
See, I ain't trying to tell you your age, but what year was this?
Shit. Had to have been 2005.
Them damn it. Are them, would you consider them like the glory days?
Because I graduated in 07, so it had to have been like 2005.
I guess
I want you to piggyback on this too, because we've talked about it
more
on camera.
Like maybe 88, 89 is when when we really started kicking off. Once Dion and Dominique got in town, they made the town hot. Mm-hmm. They gave us a little flair we never had.
Right,
you know,
right.
I was just slow dollaring from there. We were just grinding, and it was hard work. But then once I started picking up that people would go crazy over famous people. That's when I started learning how to, I said, dang.
That's when you got your hospitality game going.
They go crazy over one famous, my God, you know, the money going up a little bit. That's it, you know, so I'm looking for the next famous Amos. I'm around trying to find famous Amos. You know what I'm saying? I need a famous, because these people are hooked on famous people. Mm-hmm. It was really,
and I was back then.
It was really amazing to me how people gravitate to stars or anybody, you know what I'm saying? Then Jermaine Dupri kicked in with their songs and their different stuff. And his song with Puffy and all of them became a big one.
Welcome to Atlanta.
Yeah, where the players play. And Freaknik started getting, was so close to us being downtown. I used to just catch the deep. And then I lucked up and meet a couple of D-Town boys from Detroit and on. So now I'm starting to fuse.
Yeah. Who from Detroit, Pops?
Well, you know, way before I meet Meech, you know, I used to have all the
before I ever met Meech,
I used to meet a lot of other Cleveland and Detroit boys.
Couple real players.
Yeah, they were the real players coming with the, you know, and then the pimps from Chicago. And I started meeting the pimps, and so I used to try to invite them all in and stuff. But then they'd be like, "Well, what is you doing with these women? You ain't getting paid." I was like, "Yeah, they pay me."
Pimp's like, "You don't want all this money.
You mean all these women and you and none of them belong to you?" I said, "No, they don't belong to me." You know what I mean? Oh, man. They hat was turned to the side. They was like, "We don't know what you're doing, Magic, but you messing up the game." they used to be on me, man, about that shit. I'm worried they're coming in with me. So they used to get on us, man, but you messing the game up. You almost giving them a free out.
Right.
With this shit, you're giving them a free out. I said, "Hey, man, I'm just trying to hustle up a meal, you know."
Because you started coming to the club around my first experience, 05, 06.
05, 06, yeah, at the Tizzy back then.
See, I'm gone then, 05, 06.
Oh, you had to just get back.
05, no, I'm gone. 05.
You got back in 05.
Oh, yeah, I'm back in 05. I come 02. I come back 02.
I remember. Okay. Remember that hour? So, I burned the house down and you beat my ass that one. I remember that. I know it was 05.
Well, when I first come home, they take me to the school and stuff. Some shit back. They were out walking the track and then went to this little house to smoke something or something.
And then
lit a mattress on fire or something.
Whole house burned.
So I got to go up to the school. I'm just coming home, heated up, and you know, I don't know.
Yeah, you had them prison look.
Yeah, that was that. That was about like that, 204, 20-something like that, 204. But so it was crazy back then.
So you brought up Meech and the famous BMF days in here.
That came more, fuck, when I came home.
I saw the tail end of it.
Yeah, when I came home. So I knew Meech before I ever was incarcerated. I knew Meech. So I guess I must meet Meechie 80, 90, 91. And he just is a little young, little dude running around for.
Yeah, that's way before we heard about
him. Yeah. He just running around with a guy named Easy from LA. And he was like a flunky for Easy. So I knew him before. So when I come home and everybody hollering, Meech is the man. What Meech? You know, the one that used to go take girls shopping and shit?
Yeah. They got it together.
They say, man, he the man for real. So they had a party up when I first home, they had a party at Puffy's up there on
Justin.
They got the party there. So they got all the bottles and people. So somebody's sitting right in the middle of the party like this, and they combing his hair. I said, who is that? they was good. Two motherfuckers combing Meech's hair all out, and they combing his hair right in the middle of the party. I didn't know what was going on. So then I walk over to Ward's, and 10 people stand up. Hold it, you can't come close. I'm like, whoa, what is going on there, you know? And that's Meech. I said, oh my God, Meech the man. So that's the first time I had really got a chance to see Meech, you know, and know him. And then he's, you know, he's like, okay, y'all stand down. That's my home. And he let me come on over there. And I'm like, what is you doing with this hair? This hair was down here. I don't know what's going on.
The last time you seen on the show, he got a little fro.
Yeah, he ain't had none of that when I saw him. I ain't know this yet. But he was 18 when I first met him, he was a kid, 18, 19, you know. So then he grew up into the man.
Whether you're a world-class comedian or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and understand that proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of the Underground Lounge. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or the EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE system yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in Los Angeles, in Philadelphia, Chicago, wherever you are, it's an access center near you. And make sure you understand that the access center is easy and affordable. We love affordable, don't we? Yes, we do. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/lounge to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/lounge. No material or testimonials on a Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
Jew, during them times, what's some of the craziest shit you saw? Because I'm going to tell you, we were so young, I thought it was normal.
Right, right.
What I was seeing. Like, yeah. I really watched Nelly pull a manila envelope out his pants with 50 to 60 grand. And he's like, hey, I need some wands. And these are my first experiences. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Mind you, my very first time coming to Magic City, I'm with JD. JD brought me my very first time.
Okay, he brought you the first time.
Yeah, look, a real crash course, elementary style.
Right.
This is how you do that.
That's how you do
it. You throw it up.
I still do that.
Bend the money. You throw it in the air. He was giving me a real crash course.
You know, that was big when Nelly hit us with the booty, with the
Tim Drill.
Yeah. That was big. That shot me, you know, from there, man. It was almost like running across the lake from there. I started meeting, you know, then little Usher, then little Pete Puffy. Yeah. So you just started meeting different celebs. And then, you know, pretty women grab people, you know.
Oh, for
men
sure.
Like pretty women.
For sure.
So,
for sure.
You know what I'm saying? So that was sort of between the star and the pretty woman.
Mm-hmm.
I still came up with a magic formula.
But listen,
like that.
Speaking of match, though, this atmosphere, it's not the biggest club in the world, but it's a family affair. You come in, I've literally been in here from 3 to 3 before.
You told me.
Yeah, I've literally
it's
been
a 12-hour shift.
I've seen it.
Yeah, I got out of practice. I was playing for the Hawks. I get out of practice. I'm like, I want to eat. You know what I'm saying? So I come over here. I literally got on basketball shorts, some flip-flops, a T-shirt. So I eat. I'm chilling. I might have had a drink or two. I'm grooving. A couple of homies pull up. Next thing you know, the first 7 o'clock game coming up.
Oh, yeah.
I'm hungry again.
Yeah.
Order another plate. That game go off. And that was 10 o'clock. I'm drinking. Second stretch of games come on.
Nah, it's time to get after
them go off. By then, the club cracking.
Yeah,
now the club packed. So I'm all in at this point. I'm off the next day. I ain't got nothing to do. I'm off. So I've been in here from 3 to 3, but it's just
I think the smallness is sort of keeps you in there because the big clubs have – it's a hard time because the people got to spend money.
Yeah.
So
people
it's
don't
hard,
mingle no more either.
And they don't mingle as much.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's hard to find a lot of people to come to a big club with the like experiment in them. You get that in Vegas.
Right.
But it's hard to get it in Atlanta here. So I think the size sort of saves us sometimes because you're open 6 days a week, all day long, and people people come in one way and leave parking a little jiggy. But you know what I'm saying? So it ain't like everybody can play. It ain't like everybody can play that game. You know what I'm saying? So that's one of the things that I think kept us alive is just keeping it small, keeping
and
it.
And the diversity. Every time I'm in here, you might see a group of people that look like they're not supposed to be here, but they're just as comfortable as everybody else.
And that's the beautiful part about it, you know, just a bunch of people having a good time.
Treat everybody the same, you know, the celebrities, you treat them with the same respect you treat the people who aren't of their status, and you know.
And then you were able to come without everybody going star crazy when you came in. You know, they don't run all on you. Oh, my God.
Right.
You know,
that,
we didn't do that.
Some of the women do, though.
Yeah, well, after you feed them.
I think Rihanna was the only person I ever seen where the whole club, like, stopped.
Stop.
With Riri right here.
Dancing. She's standing right here. The dancers ain't dancing. Everybody's.
Right.
Everybody's just staring at this motherfucker. That's the only time I ever seen.
Yeah, Rihanna like that.
Sheesh.
She was big. Then Usher brought me Madonna one time. They sat right there, back there, you know, the Miracle Girl. Yeah, she had some damn Converse sneakers on. She had a black Converse.
You remember?
Yeah, I did remember that with a blue jacket with the little thing on it. I remember. I remember that. Now, it was big seeing her sit there. She never did nothing much, but she sat there, and that was cool.
Wow, that's what's up.
She chilled
like that. So we've had a lot of good ones.
I've heard an urban legend about an Egyptian room.
Oh, back in
the
day.
That's, obviously, that's before my time.
Well, what happened is...
I got a little blurs, but I wasn't. I got a little blurs.
So that was prime time's time. That was 89, like that, when the Shaq might have been sad. Dennis Scott might have come through that damn era. They might have been the last of that era right there.
Who fucked it up?
Well, what happened? Yeah, you know, we used to play a little cards, have a little fun like that. Just a low key thing where with stars at first, you know, nobody but just play, you know, mess around, let a regular in.
It ain't been the same.
So it was cool. And you know, you remodeled probably 20 times over the years. You have to keep reinventing yourself with it. You just small space, you just got. So I was trying to go down and see one time in the last couple of years if I could have my blueprints and drawing. I was going to knock this wall out here and make it a little banker. So the man in the line saw me. He was like, "Matt, what you doing?" I was like, "Well, I was getting ready." He said, "Well, you know if you do that, you won't be grandfathered in." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, once you move a wall, you'd be under the new regulations."
That's crazy.
And I was like, "Oh," he said, "so don't do that." I said, "Oh, all right." So spent my money and stuff, but I just threw that shit in the trash.
Yeah, that's why we never grew in size.
You want to be under the new law, huh?
It was a blessing in disguise.
A blessing in disguise, yeah.
Yeah, he kept me, saved me. So, you know, Atlanta got some good people. You met so many good people around the country. So Snoop Dogg and Daz and them came along around that time. So that's when they started coming up, Dazz and Corrupt. I met them when they was kids. Mm-hmm. And yeah, stuff like that.
Y'all literally a landmark.
You had the West Coast.
Yeah. You won't even believe every team I played on, every locker room, Tupac. We coming to Atlanta.
They coming. They want to come hang out.
They got to come kick it.
Wasn't Tupac here?
Oh, Pac was here. Like, oh, wow. 89.
Pac
was 89, 90.
That's
right. Got the scarf tied and shit, with the scarf tied up and stuff.
I'm glad to see that again.
Hilarious.
Yeah, so Pac was around 89, 92. So that was a good era.
That's the year I was born. That was a good year for you, 89.
Yeah, 89, that was the year. That was a good year. You was born 89, yeah, that was a big year, man. Ships got bigger. Ships got bigger. Women got finer. That was a hell of a time. Man. That was a hell of a time.
Oh, you know? Man. So it's a talk of who made it rain, who started to make it rain. And it's between BMF and JD.
Okay, now. I guess I got incarcerated somewhere in 94. So I made it, came home 202, into 201, I came home. So I never seen no rain. It used to be like, man, you know, but we can put a 20 in there. That was rain. That was a rain if you put a 20 in there. Before I leave, when I come back, you know, if you put a dub in there, that was raining, you know? I put a dub in the garter strap. Everything had to go in the garter when I left.
That's the difference from that dollar.
Right. So
I ain't seen a garter.
I didn't even know. So if it was the 20 in the garter was rain. You know, that was my first sign of rain. When somebody put a 20 in there, they used to go crazy over the 20. So, you know, and then when I came and I started seeing with meeting them, they said they throw the money in the air. I was like, what you mean? He said, man, they get the money and they throw it. That's right. Like, how they split it up? Who did it? You know, but they're just throwing the shit like that, you know? So that was my first time really seeing rain. And it probably was BMF to see the real rain, you know, to see some real rainstorms. It was them.
Sheesh.
Making it rain.
Shouts out to BMF. I lost a lot of money because of y'all, because I had to make it rain now.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started going to strip clubs. I think the first time I went to one, I was 15, but I was always tall. In Philly, they just had like a regular bar downstairs, but I guess it was like the Egyptian room. They had like two strippers in there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Man, I witnessed a young lady spread her legs open and put a bottle up in there, beer bottle. I said, I don't like this. I want to go home. I want to go home.
Shit was too real.
It was too real.
It was too real.
He had some pros. There was some pros, you know? He had some pros.
I want to ask you about the, speaking of JD, I want to ask you about the documentary, March 11th. It premieres at South by Southwest down in Austin, Texas. What was that like filming that and getting that on camera where people can understand our culture down here?
It was pretty amazing. Some good people behind it. We're sort of surfacing, like sparring with each other on a lot of parts of it. We sparred some, put some things together, put some things out there. You know, a lot of things, like people who told they've been to Magic City or whatever, I go with them if they say they've been hanging out. Right. But the ones who ain't telling on themselves, right. You know, I leave them dead. You know, like, you know, what goes on at Magic, I let it stay in Magic. If they ain't tell it, I can't be telling it. You see what I'm saying? BMF and them, they loved it. They tell it. So I can go with them. Mm-hmm. I can go with the ones who came through. And, you know.
That's what the documentary is mostly. Everybody else telling their experiences of Magic City and their stories.
Right.
Yeah. With a mixture of ours.
I think I sat down for it.
A lot of different little parts like that.
And everybody else's input's more than just ours. So it was just, you know, getting everybody together to see how Magic City affected them and changed the dancers' lifestyles from, you know, because a lot of these dancers we changed. I mean, we raised them.
You gotta be modest about it.
Without us, a lot of these bitches wouldn't.
Watch yourself.
You don't know where they would be.
Well, I try to pay them. They make money. I try to make them file the taxes, do the right thing, and they're making money. They're doing good. File your taxes, learn. So they starting to learn how to buy houses, buy cars. They came a long ways. So, you know,
a lot of them just changing. They went to school, pushed school.
Yeah, he pushed school hard.
Pushed school. You got to do something now.
Right.
You know, you should never just stay here.
Right.
You should always, and it's hard for them to straddle because they look at them paychecks and then they look over here. Magic, I made that in 120 minutes. I was saying, but that's just fake. You know, that's magic world. That ain't reality.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You're going to have to stay prepared for reality because it comes.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and this shit here sometimes becomes delusional. It just becomes delusional. You buying a Cardi B pocketbook. why you want a Cardi B pocketbook, bro? You ain't Cardi B. You ain't bringing what Cardi B bring in.
Or the Birkins.
I'm trying to make you understand. Yeah, even Chanel now. Chanel, what you doing with a Chanel? You I be trying to teach reality, man. Don't give up 12 grand for no damn pocketbook.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? That's hard money that you don't understand it yet, you know? Yeah. But you think that's cute, because I can show them I got this. Man, then you put weed in there. I'll smack you. No, that's how I don't know, man. There's a lot of different cultures, different young girls going around. There's a lot of different people. But over the years, they gravitated. I've seen a lot of them graduate from school, been to a lot of their graduations and different stuff. Seen a couple with some honors.
Oh, wow.
So, they make you proud, but then they don't want to go.
They don't want to go.
They don't want to come right back.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. 6 months of that man stepping on your neck.
Yeah.
They don't like that one. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no get up when you want to get up. Ain't none of that. You know, he's stepping on your neck. You got to do what they say.
Yeah.
And you ain't used to, you don't want that.
Right.
You know, and that seems what's going on here a lot in America right now. These kids, the young people don't want, nobody wants to be told, you got to hustle. You got to work. You got to bust your ass.
It's too easy to make money now.
Yeah.
You got 16, 17-year-old multimillionaires that don't leave the house.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know how they're doing it.
They're trapping out the phone, so it's hard to regulate somebody 17 making
a lot of new things I haven't seen. Like, what's that? There's a lot of different stuff. But if it's made over the phones, I might can learn that. Get my hustle right. I might can learn something.
I'm getting into that. Last but not least, we wouldn't be doing ourselves justice if we didn't discuss the kitchen.
Hey.
The kitchen has become synonymous with the rest of everything else that the club offers.
What happened?
Tell us
the
about
kitchen
it.
Was behind. Tell some guy named Luke.
Let's tell Lulu
came through there, and I think, you know, he shot us to the kitchen to a new level. Didn't even know about it when everybody I talked to. So I said, Magic, what the hell going on with them with Luke? I don't know what you're talking about, man. What kind of wings can make a mess up like that?
What kind of wings?
What is you got cracking the wings? They think I got cracking the wings.
What kind of wings make a mess up like that?
What kind of wings is them you selling?
But the kitchen's a whole new platform. It's a whole new.
And it's different names.
It's taking on a life of its own.
And it's different names for different foods, or are you the only one with the name?
It's different.
It's different. You got Juju. Juju got
a name on there.
I'm getting ready to come up. Juju, I need them shark bites. I need to make them catfish nugget shark bites because Shannon's on me already. He's on me. I want him to come get me. That's what I'm trying to get.
Every time he talk about Maxie, he talk about the catfish nugget.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm going to make them shark bite nuggets, man. That's going to be them shark bite nuggets, man.
That's funny.
The kitchen is everything. You know, we ship wings all across the country on Gold Belly, like weekly, and
cater.
Cater,
all teams I play on, we cater when we come into town. I know DeMar DeRozan just spoke to me about catering for the Chicago Bulls the last time that they was here.
It's wild. We doing.
I didn't know that.
So it's good. It's coming along, man, and just blessed. When at the end of the day, that's all I can say. Bless, man.
Y'all ever try to like venture off to other Magic cities, or
I don't think the cities are the same.
Right.
You know, I've been traveling all around. I go to a lot of places
That magic sauce don't work everywhere.
And you know, a lot of people come to you and say, "Well, let me open one over here." I be saying, "No, because I don't like that city. That city, you can't handle it. You don't understand the people."
Right. Right.
And it's hard to stay alive messing around out here with these people day in and day at night.
That's true.
So Miami, I said, no, they got too much water. I ain't going there. You know what I'm saying? Vegas got too much desert. Yeah. They ain't want to mess around out here. You got to know them, man. New York, it just ain't, they just don't have that same vibe. Too many Looney Tunes running around. You can just, like I say, everybody don't have the kind of money to play with that little thing. Chicago, we ain't even gonna go close to there. We ain't gonna go close to there. You know what I'm saying? So when you come out of them places, you know, you can go to country towns maybe and get away with it.
Right.
But it's more hard work, and they don't have the dollar. See, they don't have the income bracket to keep you afloat. Where Atlanta's a hub, like the airport, the people come through here.
That's true.
We've been more blessed on the travel of just the people coming through down there. Now our sports are growing.
Right.
Yeah, soccer and everything is coming.
We got the World Cup.
Soccer.
So everything is coming through. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So like when Atlanta United won the soccer championship, they brought the trophy here and put it on stage.
Wow.
And had
girls they come.
I came there with my six-man trophy.
Came with the six-man?
So, you know, that's crazy, but that's blessings. That's some unreal stuff in Atlanta, man. So I think this is the best city that we found. People work together. They cleaning up this side of town, so I can't see nothing but bigger aspirations down this way with the Gulch coming, different things coming to our side of town.
This is the
first time we seen cranes over here. My 40 years, they ain't seen no cranes. Now I got cranes everywhere, you know? So I'm excited about that, you know? I think it's going to be a new ATL in the next 5 years.
We might be
to a new level.
Absolutely. You know,
the movies, the taking off. I went to Mr. Hart, so. Concert Sunday, it was A+.
It was A+.
He got me working on my abs. I don't want to set my shit up. You know what I'm saying? He got me working on my abs after that.
Yeah, I was telling him, I was like, hey, man, we got a magical interview. He said, y'all got what? No, I got to make a phone call. I got an interview for four of y'all.
Beat him to the punch. We beat him to the punch. But listen, it's been an absolute pleasure to shine a spotlight on y'all. And just let y'all know how we feel about y'all family. Me and Juju have developed a relationship over the years. It's been a privilege running into you 100,000 times a year with your red glass of wine.
Hey, brother. You know, you
treated me really well and treated me fairly and treated Spank fairly.
Of course.
So shout out to the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to the club. Shout out to y'all.
We want
to
appreciate
y'all.
For sure.
Appreciate it.
Kicking it at the Underground Lounge. Until next time.
Underground Lounge.
Underground.
Underground.